So once upon a time, there were two very distinct groups of people. There were Jews and there were Gentiles. And the Jewish people were God's people because long, long before, God had made a covenant, a promise to a man called Abraham that he would be their God and they would be his people, that he would look after them and bless them and make them a great nation. And in turn, they would be a blessing to all people on the earth. Blessed to be a blessing. And God kept his word, though the people often behaved as kind of people usually do and kept messing it up a bit and breaking God's law and turning away. But he kept gently bringing them back. And then came the Messiah, the promised one of God, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for the glory of Israel. Jesus, the Messiah, came into the world. The Son of God arrived and revealed the face of God, showed the way of God, and died to bring all people back to God. As it says in the Ephesians reading that we just heard, for he himself, that's Christ, is our peace, who has made the two one. He's destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by abolishing in his flesh the law with its commandments and regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one new humanity out of the two, thus making peace. And in his one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which he put to death their hostility. And so a new world and a new way was established. It was no longer Jews and Gentiles as separate groups and groups that were quite antagonistic towards each other. Now it was one group. Initially, this group were known as followers of the way, and eventually they became known as Christians. And in this letter to the Ephesians that we've just heard read, a man called Paul is writing to those who had come from the group known as the Gentiles, the group who were now part of this new humanity. And he was explaining to them what had happened, this change of status that they now had. So against the backdrop of the very brief history that I outlined, Paul wanted them to understand who they were and how they were to relate. So he said to these Gentiles who were now part of this one new humanity, you're no longer foreigners and aliens. You are fellow citizens with God's people and members of God's household. They've been brought into God's kingdom. See the language of citizenship being used, indicating that this is about a large-scale community, a new nation. They'd also been brought into the household of God. So we've got family language being used. We have this idea that this is about our domestic affairs and life too. So this new humanity, the barrier between peoples has been destroyed. The dividing wall of hostility has been taken down, and there was peace and there was unity where previously there was no peace and unity. So this is the vision and intention for God's people. And to be honest, this vision is quite different from the one which seems to be growing in our world today. Last week, I don't know how many of you were aware in the news, we had a visit from Donald Trump. And he's somebody I find deeply worrying because the vision that he seems to be expressing for his country is one which looks to keep people out, to exclude people, which seeks to do it not just with a metaphorical wall, but with an actual physical wall in some cases. He talks about foreigners and aliens in a way which increases hostility. And also seems to want to make people suspicious of one another, suspicious of people who are not like them. And I find it deeply concerning. And he's not the only one who expresses these kind of views, but he's kind of one of the big figureheads at the moment speaking in this kind of way. But God's nation, God's community, God's family is called to be something quite different. We need to work out what it means as Christians to be fellow citizens together, members of God's household. We're called to invite people in. We are to share a message of peace an invitation from Jesus for those who are far off as well as for those who are near. We are ourselves to be people of peace who break down barriers and look to end hostilities. Today we baptized little Thea, but what are we now going to teach her about what it means to be part of God's community? What are we going to show her about what it means to be Christian and part of this new humanity? How are we going to model to her the peace that is spoken about here? Because being part of this new humanity, to be fellow citizens and members of God's household, is something which has far-reaching implications. It has implications for how we are here with each other in our local church community. It has implications for how we are with other Christians in the world. It has implications for how we are in our families and in our homes. It has implications for how we engage in our workplaces. It has implications for how we conduct ourselves in our schools and our universities. It has implications for how we work in our local communities and in civic society. It has implications for how we engage in politics. Now, it doesn't give us nice, simple answers for what it means in these different areas, but it requires that we ask ourselves the question, what does being part of God's new humanity mean in this area? What are the barriers which might need breaking down? What hostilities exist? Where and how can I speak words of peace? How can I treat others as fellow citizens? How should members of God's household relate? And where do I live up to this? And where do I fall short? There are thoughts to be had. There are actions to consider. And there will be moments where we get it right, and there will be times when we get it wrong, sometimes disastrously so. I spoke earlier of the story of the Jewish nation and their constant messing up and wandering away from God. Well, I think that story still exists in God's new humanity too. In the story of the church, when you look past through 2,000 years of history, you look at the Crusades, corruption, ructions and factions which exist. I went to the York Dungeons when I was a teenager and was actually felt physically sick when I looked at all the displays of what Catholics had done to Protestants throughout history and what Protestants had done to Catholics. It's a really good thing that God's new humanity rests on the sacrifice of Jesus and not on our ability to live well and make good decisions. We've made some pretty poor decisions in our history. Nonetheless, we are called to try and live well and make good decisions about being members of this new humanity. So we need to recognize that it's not always easy for Jews and Gentiles to begin to relate to one another as fellow citizens. Took a lot of effort. Okay, they were very different from each other. They had different life experiences, different values. And on the one hand, you had lots of kind of food laws and cleanliness laws to be contended with. And on the other, you had foreign gods and practices that needed to be lost as they came together. See, the more someone is like us, the easier it is to treat them as a fellow citizen. When you see somebody who's similar to you, there's this kind of immediate connection. There's this underlying understanding or a recognition of shared values or a shared history. But God's new humanity is bringing difference together and saying, you are now one family. And this throws up tensions and questions. Why are you like that? Why do you do that? What's that practice about? There are language barriers. There are cultural barriers. There are barriers of bias, both kind of conscious and unconscious. I had an interesting experience last Sunday evening of going to the first mass of one of my fellow curates in our diocese. And I was invited to attend and to wear my robes and my collar and be part of the kind of clergy procession. And I thought it was a mistake, because this person belongs to a forward in faith church and they disagree with female ordination. So I thought I'd got this invitation by accident. So I went up to him and I said, "Are you, was this a mistake?" And he said, "No, I'd really like you to be there and to come." And so I took some time to think about it, and I decided to go. Because even though we are poles apart theologically and in churchmanship from one another, I wanted to make the decision of what was going to promote peace. I wanted to break down barriers and hostilities. You know, he had been gracious enough to invite me. I wanted to be gracious enough to come and build relationship with those who are different from me and think different. Now, that doesn't mean that it was easy. It wasn't necessarily easy for me, as I was surrounded by a bunch of people, a lot of whom disagreed with my ministry. And I wasn't an easy presence for many of them, because actually they found it difficult. But I made the decision that promoting peace meant to go and to be there. And I was, I have to say, really pleasantly surprised by how I was treated by those that I met. Somebody else might have made a different decision. They might have thought that actually it was disruptive, knowing that you were going to be a difficult presence there, or that it was giving airtime to a view that people thought was wrong. But the point was that I needed to think through what to do and how to be. I had to ask the question of what does it mean to be part of God's new humanity, to be a Christian in this area? How should this impact my decisions and my actions and my behavior? So every day we will encounter moments when we need to think about what we do or what we say, what decisions we make or how to be. Sometimes we barely have any time before we make a decision. We just have to react to certain situations. Sometimes there is time to sit and to ponder and to think. But in our words and actions, how do we work to invite and include people in this new humanity, in God's community? Where do we take the time to stop and to ask the question, what does being part of God's humanity mean for me here, in this situation, with this person? So Jesus is our peace. That's what we're told. He has destroyed barriers. He's ended hostilities. He's brought us together into a new humanity. That is the foundation of our community. So now over to you. You need to think it through now. What implications are there for you today, tomorrow, in that meeting, with that person? How are you called to be? Amen.